It's Jim, it's the World Bonds. It's Thursday, 25th of March, 2021. This is for professional investors only and never investment advice. 10-year US Treasury is at 1.62, the 10-year gilt at 74 and the 10-year bund at minus 37 basis points. So a little bit off the highs that we saw over the past couple of weeks. The currency market story has really been one of dollar strength. That continues this morning, and DXY, that trade-weighted measure of the dollar, is now up over 3% year-to-date. Inflation expectations still at their highs too, especially, I guess, in the UK, where the five-year break-even inflation rate, as measured by Linkers, is at 3.3%. Today, we're going to look at a blog from the Peterson Institute. You'll probably know the Peterson Institute from Adam Posen. Used to be on the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee. He's now there. It's a US think tank based in Washington, D.C. They've written a note really about the impacts of the ARP, the American Recovery Plan, the $1.9 trillion stimulus that the US is getting. Lots of stimulus coming out in the future as well, it's expected. So lots of talk now about another wave of stimulus focusing on infrastructure projects, in the next year or so. So it may not be the end of the stimulus wave. And what they're doing is really, in this blog, which is written by Joe Gagnon and Mardi Sassenbeu, of the PIIE, if you want to Google it. The blog is called Bond Markets Are Shrugging Off Inflation Fears, But What Do They Know That We Don't? What they're doing is really looking at whether bond markets have any forward-looking powers of knowing whether inflation is coming back or not. That's always been a pretty difficult question to answer, partly because of the thing we've been talking about ad nauseum this year, which is the breakdown in the rise in bond yields between that part of it that's the real yield, so is based on the kind of long-term trends that determine long-term non-inflationary bond rates of borrowing, and what bit of it is down to inflation. So historically, you've never been able to look at a bond yield and say this is all about inflation expectations, or this is all about demand for interest rate product or for borrowing. Nowadays, you can, of course, because we have index-linked bonds, and we talked about that break-even rate of inflation in the UK. We can strip out that bit of bond market rises that are due to inflation expectations and that aren't. But not in every bond market, and there are big distortions, of course, down to liquidity, or rather illiquidity, in inflation-linked markets. And the long-term history isn't there for many of them. You know, we've got a long-term history in the gilt market. Canada and Australia were relatively recent, but US late to the party, although we now have decades of information about that, and Japan, Europe even later too. So a mixed bag. Eventually we'll end up with having a good long-run data set based on inflation expectations that are based on inflation-linked bonds. We've got something, but they really don't go back much before the 1980s in any of those bond markets. In any case, I think what the Peterson Institute blog says is, and to quote, "There is no apparent tendency for inflation compensation to move in advance of major moves in inflation. Instead, movements tend to be simultaneous." And that basically means don't waste your time looking at break-even inflation rates. They're not really going to tell you anything very much other than what's happening with inflation today. More than that, I mean, my experience over my decades in the bond market, you see 30-year inflation break-even rates move simply on today's oil price move. So you get a big move in WTI or crude over a couple of weeks, and suddenly 30-year break-even inflation rates move by 10-20 basis points, which on the face of it is absolutely ridiculous, because even if you expected that WTI move to stick, if you thought that extra $10 on the price of oil was here to stay, or even $30, even if it stayed there for a year, it would drop out in 1 year's time. But bond markets tend to be very short term about these things and not very mature. And so they don't tend to really think about the impact of inflation over a 30-year period. And this is what the conclusions of the Peterson Institute blog is, that you're not going to get very far by looking at break-even inflation rates in terms of forecasting future inflation. A good example they mentioned in their blog is actually in the other direction. Huge falls in inflation, structural declines in inflation in the UK and Australia in the 1990s, not forecast or predicted at all in break-even inflation rates. Now, I was thinking about this the other day in the context of weathermen, you know, thinking, someone asked me what the weather forecast was for the weekend to go out for a bike ride, and you know, my answer is always, well, it's going to be pretty much the same as it is today, and today is the same as it was yesterday. And they actually mentioned this in the blog, that the best prediction of inflation is actually what was average inflation over the recent history. So simply by taking an average of the past few years or even a decade's worth of inflation, that is a better predictor of future inflation than break-even inflation rates as measured by bond markets. So simply taking a backward-looking average of what inflation has been is a better predictor of inflation than any other measures that we have in the bond markets at the moment. So always worth bearing that in mind. Having said all that, when I do think about my weather forecasting analogy, I do think about 1987 and our most famous weather forecaster here in the UK, Michael Fish, standing up on the BBC News and saying, earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she'd heard there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't. Obviously, the next morning we all woke up to find that there had been a hurricane on the way to the UK and that all our big trees had fallen down. Also, was the stock market crash that day as well, I believe. Anyway, so that was the first thing I was going to say. Have a look at that blog. It's interesting in the context of the big rise in inflation expectations we've seen. The only other thing I'd recommend today is that you go and read the FT's story about Lee Buckheight. Lee Buckheight is always called a legend of the restructuring market. You might be surprised to know that there are legends of restructuring markets, but restructuring, he's been involved in lots of sovereign debt defaults. So when Greece gets into difficulty or an emerging market economy, you call in Lee Buckheight and he helps sort out the mess. He's also an engaging speaker, very interesting guy. There's a good interview with him in the FT from years ago by Robin Wrigglesworth that again is worth a read. But he's out in the news this morning saying that we should encourage emerging markets to write off portions of their debt to make it more sustainable, to reduce their debt burdens in exchange for environmental projects. So kind of linking debt relief to progress on climate and other environmental goals. So, you know, again, possibly an idea whose time has come. Have a good weekend. I'll speak to you next week. Bye.